It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On the night of December 15th, 1996, 12-year-old Selena Mays went to bed in her family home in Willingboro, New Jersey. By the morning, she was gone. As police began investigating, they learned that when she disappeared, Selena was 9 months pregnant and just days away from giving birth. They also learned that her family belonged to a controversial religious group led by her aunt, one that former members have described as a cult. This dynamic, along with reports that the aunt's son had molested underage girls in the church, complicated the case. 29 years later, Selena has never been found, and detectives are still working to untangle what happened inside that church to Selena and her unborn baby. And despite everything that's happened, they haven't given up hope that she may still be alive. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. I would greatly appreciate it. So real quick before we dive into it, a couple house cleaning things. Detective Perspective shirts, if you're looking for them, they're on officialderek.com. If you don't watch Crime Weekly, there's an event called CrimeCon that's coming up in Denver. I will be there, so if you want to check that out, you can head on over to the CrimeCon website and use our code CRIMEWEEKLY, which is my main podcast with Stephanie Harlow, and you can get 10% off your tickets. It's in Denver. It's a great time. This is probably my fifth or sixth year going. You can come down, check it out. There's a big booth there. We may be doing a live episode, and we'll have a bunch of different merch, including an exclusive Crime Weekly CrimeCon t-shirt. We do a new one every year. It's a really great time. If you're from that area or you don't mind traveling, I'd love to see you there. Okay, so for tonight's case, this is an interesting one. It's mysterious, and I believe this is the first case we've covered where there may be ties to a potential cult. So I thought it would be a good one to go over, kind of look into what was done, what hasn't been done, where we can go from here. And this one is a head scratcher. I'm not going to lie to you. But the good news, there's a strong possibility that Selena is still out there somewhere. But we're going to talk about a few different things, not only this organization slash cult, whatever you want to refer to it as. We're going to talk about some missteps by law enforcement that could have solved this case before it became cold. And we're going to talk about where it stands today, because I will tell you, with the advancements in DNA and all the technology that we have, we may be able to use genealogy not to identify a suspect, but to locate a missing person. How cool would that be? But there's a lot to cover. We're going to go over all of it, and then I'm going to give you my perspective at the end, and then I'll wait for your feedback to see what you think about this case. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's case. Selena Jeanette Mays was born in May of 1984 to parents CJ and Lynn in Miami, Florida. When Selena was still young, the family moved north and settled in New Jersey. Her parents were never married, and when Selena was just around 6 years old, they separated. After the split, CJ didn't play much of a role in Selena's life. Then in 1994, when Selena was just 10 years old, Lynn suddenly passed away from an aneurysm. With her mother gone, Selena went to live with CJ, his wife Everett, and their children in Willingboro, New Jersey. According to the Courier-Post, Lynn's family was kept from seeing Selena after she moved. When they tried to call, Selena wasn't allowed to speak to them. And when they sent her letters or gifts, they never received a response. And this wasn't by accident. You see, CJ was part of a religious group called the Gospel of Christ Ministries, and this group was led by his sister Sarita, and many have since referred to this group as a cult. Now, Sarita, who we're going to talk about a lot tonight, was known to her followers as the Overseer, and multiple sources have reported that she had an unusual level of control over members of the congregation. They were, quote, very devoted to her and followed her every command. GCM members lived extremely secluded lives. They worked for the church and shared crowded housing, either in a home on Crestview Drive in Willingboro or in the church's rectory on Washington Street in nearby Mount Holly. Now, Selena lived at the Crestview Drive house, and she wasn't the only one. At least 19 other people lived there, including her dad, stepmom, and their kids, Sarita and her five children, including her adult son Sean, and a mix of other relatives and church members. So the house was packed. The children in the house, including Selena, were just as isolated as the adults, if not more. They were homeschooled, taught strict religious doctrine, and kept under close supervision. Neighbors later said that they had never once seen Selena or any of the other children playing outside. All of this meant that Selena didn't have any connections beyond the church. By the winter of 1996, Selena was 12 years old, and her entire world revolved around the Gospel of Christ Ministries and the people inside of it. And as I mentioned, they lived a secluded life far from the spotlight, but soon, that would change. On December 17th, 1996, Selena's father, CJ, walked into the Willingboro Police Department and reported his daughter missing. He told officers that he had last seen Selena at around 11 p.m. on December 15th after she said she was going to bed. The following morning, her half-sister Nori went to wake her, but Selena was gone. Her bed had been found with pillows tucked under the covers, and nothing in her room appeared to be missing. It looked like she had left with only the clothes on her back. According to In Pursuit with John Walsh, CJ seemed calm at the station. He didn't show concern about Selena's whereabouts, and he reportedly told officers it was in God's hands and that he believed his daughter would come back. After filing the report, CJ left the station, but what's important to note here, because he went to the station to make the report, rather than calling the police and having them respond to his home, police never got the chance to go inside the house and see Selena's bedroom, which, when we talk about missing persons, the place you want to start is the last place they were seen, which would have been the bedroom. Maybe there would have been a piece of evidence in that room that would have not only indicated what happened to Selena, but where she might be. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and that foundational piece of evidence was missed. And as I sit here today, in my professional opinion, I think that misstep is a major reason why we may be sitting here right now with more questions than answers. So at first, it seems like Selena's case was treated as a runaway. But 3 days after she was reported missing, police still hadn't received a single update or check-in from the family, so the lead detective went to the house to follow up. And he was immediately met with a complete lack of cooperation. CJ told the detective that they couldn't search the house because it didn't belong to him. It belonged to his sister Sarita, and only she could give permission. To the detective, and I think to everybody else, this felt strange because at that point, they were simply trying to find a missing child. And yet her own father was standing in the way of the investigation. Still, the detective was persistent and kept asking questions. And eventually, CJ revealed something that left the detective stunned. Selena, just 12 years old, had been 9 months pregnant when she disappeared. And according to him, no one knew who the father was. However, we have some information that may shed light on that question. We're going to talk about it after this break. All right, you guys have heard me talk about it before. The flavored air category is quickly becoming the leading alternative to vaping and smoking. It's a whole new movement toward better habits led by the sponsor of today's video, Fume. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device, and flavored air isn't like vaping. If vapor was compared to sticky soda, Fume cores are closer to herbal teas. Fume has lots of delicious flavors to choose from, like crisp mint and orange vanilla. I have crisp mint right here. I also have a cinnamon heart that I haven't tried yet. Orange vanilla, I've said it before, that's still my favorite flavor, but who knows, maybe cinnamon hearts will take its place. With flavored air, you can satisfy your oral fixation through a passive diffusion system that utilizes no electronics, vapor, or combustion. That's right, no batteries, so you'll never have to charge it, and it looks awesome. I've said it before, can see it right here if you're watching on YouTube. It's made of real wood, real metal. It's got this fidget device as well where you can kind of magnetize, like click it open, or you can twist it. A lot of times you may not even see it, but I either have like a pen or I have the fume in my hand while I'm recording these episodes. It's something that just relaxes me. So even when I'm not using it, it's still a cool device to have around. And what I like about Fume is that they're continuously investing in third-party studies to ensure the safety of all their products, which is something that's really important to me because I know from a business perspective, not every company does that. Fume has already helped over 400,000 people take steps towards better habits, and now it's your turn. So use my code DETECTIVE to get a free gift with your journey pack. All you have to do is head over to tryfume.com. That's tryfume.com and use my code DETECTIVE to claim this limited time offer today. All right, so we're back, and before break, I talked about the fact that CJ, Selena's father, revealed to the investigating detective that at the time of her disappearance, Selena was 9 months pregnant, and she was only 12 years old. And the detective later said he couldn't believe that information hadn't been shared right away. I think we can all agree that information was critical, especially under the circumstances. So the detective immediately considered the possibility that the baby's father might be connected to Selena's disappearance. But the police didn't go public just yet. They were still hoping she'd be found safe without having to bring the community in for help. In the meantime, the detective contacted every hospital in the area to see if Selena had gone into labor or delivered her baby, but none of the facilities had treated anyone matching her description. He also reached out to Selena's maternal relatives, thinking that if she had run away, she might have reached out to someone on her mother's side, but unfortunately, no one had seen or heard from her. As the search continued, police worked to identify the baby's father, but their efforts were repeatedly blocked by Selena's paternal family. CJ and Sarita hired an attorney and refused to cooperate. They wouldn't speak to detectives, wouldn't allow a search of the house, and Sarita denied every request to speak with members of the congregation. Now, I do want to point out here, law enforcement did try to get a search warrant for the home, and unfortunately, a judge blocked it, stating that the family needed to be treated as victims as well. I do have some opinions on this. I'm really interested in hearing what you guys think about it. If you're on YouTube, pause the video, weigh in down in the comments below. If you're on audio, you have to leave a review, hopefully a good one, and you can leave comments there as well. I try to read everything. From where I'm sitting, I think the judge has to go on a case-by-case basis. So some of the things I'd be evaluating would be the affidavit to see if there's any indication that would suggest the people who lived inside the home could be connected to whatever happened. And if there's anything put forward, like, I don't know, multiple children living in the home, reports of a cult-like behavior going on there, maybe some other children being isolated, possible abuse. Would I let police officers go in there and look around? Yeah, I know that's not a surprise to you. I probably would. Now, if it was another case where there's no indication the family's involved, it's clear that they weren't involved, would I let the family have that privacy? Would I not allow law enforcement to go in there and victimize them even further? Potentially, but here's where I sit on it, and it goes before even getting to a search warrant. If the family is not allowing law enforcement to go inside, as a judge, I'm just being honest, that's going to raise a red flag for me. Because I think at the core, whether you're a parent or not, we can all agree that if your loved one goes missing and law enforcement wants to come in and look that for evidence that may potentially help find them, you're going to allow them to do so. Even me, as a former police officer, if God forbid one of my children went missing, even after I searched, if law enforcement wanted to come in there and search again, I would allow them to do so. Why? Because maybe I missed something. And two sets of eyes are better than one. So I would allow them inside because we all have the same goal. We want to find that person. And I think that's something that 99% of the population would be on board with, would get behind. So if law enforcement came to me and had a few factors and then said, oh, by the way, the adults there don't want us inside. Not gonna lie to you. To me, it's not probable cause, but it would definitely be in a tick in the category of something is not passing the smell test. So I would have given them the warrant, but each judge is different. Although I will say, as we sit here right now, that judge's decision may or may not have contributed to why this is a cold case. We will never know now, but it's something I think we have to at least consider. And this was an ongoing battle between law enforcement and Selena's family. Police later told the Courier Post that they had been at odds with CJ's family from the very beginning. One detective said, quote, "Normally, families are breaking our door down to find out what's new in the investigation. But in this case, it was the opposite." In early January, police turned to the public for help. They also brought in the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to assist with the case. That's when tips began to come in, most of them about the church. Former members described the Gospel of Christ Ministries as a cult and said Sarita's leadership was both strict and extreme. She controlled every aspect of life in the house and at the church. Police kept requesting interviews with CJ, Sarita, and members of the Gospel of Christ Ministries, but for a long time, they were met with denials. Eventually, after repeated efforts, CJ and Sarita agreed to sit down with investigators. According to the Trenton Times, they told police that Selena had tried to hide her pregnancy for several months. She wore oversized clothing and didn't begin to show until she was nearly 5 months along. CJ and Sarita claimed that when they asked who the baby's father was, Selena refused to give a name. She claimed he was a 16-year-old boy from a different church. Sarita also said Selena had expressed some hesitation about having the baby, but she tried to reassure her, telling her adoption was an option if she didn't want to keep the child. Sarita went on to say that over time, Selena began to accept the idea of becoming a mother, so Sarita took her to her doctor, who estimated that the baby was due on December 29, 1996. Both Sarita and CJ told detectives they continued asking Selena to tell them who the father was, but according to them, she would not say. After the interviews, police worked to corroborate their story. That meant speaking with members of the congregation. They kept asking Sarita for access, and eventually, she agreed. When detectives finally spoke with church members, multiple people told them the same thing, that Sean Smith, Sarita's adult son, who was 22 years old at the time, was the father of Selena's baby. They said that Selena had told them herself. One of those people was a 17-year-old named Tawana who lived in the house and was considered a kind of adopted daughter to Sarita. Tawana later told In Pursuit with John Walsh that she and Selena had been very close and that Selena trusted her with her deepest secrets. According to Tawana, in the spring of 1996, Selena confided in her that she thought she was pregnant. When Tawana asked who the father was, Selena said it was her cousin Sean, and Tawana said she believed her immediately because Sean had molested her too just a few months earlier. Tawana also told police that Sarita absolutely knew who the father was. She knew it was her own son, but she was determined to keep it quiet. She also said that Sarita was furious when she found out Selena was pregnant, and from that point on, Selena became her target. Tawana said Selena was harshly mistreated, blamed for the pregnancy, and told she had to lie and say that the father was actually a 16-year-old boy. Now, even though it was unlikely, the police did follow up on the claim that the father was a 16-year-old boy, but they found no evidence it was true. You got to think about the situation here. Selena had no outside connections. She wasn't even allowed to play outside. So how could she have met someone from another church? It just didn't make a lot of sense, and it didn't hold a lot of weight. Detectives also looked into Sarita's son, Sean, and what they found was troubling. There were many accusations of molestation, and according to the Courier Post, Sean had fathered at least five children with four different church members, and only two of those children were with his wife. As you would expect based on that information, Sean was brought in for questioning, but no surprise here, he denied being the father and claimed he had been asleep when Selena disappeared. Detectives didn't believe him, but without Selena or the baby, they had nothing solid, so Sean was released. As the investigation continued, weeks passed with no sign of Selena anywhere. In early January, an unnamed relative from Selena's mother's side told a TV reporter that they believed the key to her disappearance lay with the family and the church. The very next day, CJ's family gave a statement to the Trenton Times. They said that they had offered support throughout the pregnancy, but according to them, the pressure they had placed on her to reveal the father may have driven her to leave. They speculated that she might have fled with the baby's father or gone to live with relatives in other states. Around the same time that this was all going on, the lead detective gave an update on the case. He said he believed that Selena was still alive, and he remained hopeful that they would find her. Detectives were still working to identify the father of her baby and had not ruled out several male church members who lived in the house, including Selena's cousin Sean, who they mentioned had already been interviewed. As the weeks passed, Sarita and CJ continued to speak to the media. They denied knowing who the father was, suggested her mother's family might be hiding her, and placed the blame entirely on Selena. They had the audacity to publicly analyze, break down, and then theorize on Selena's intentions, stating that she was mature for her age, had made bad decisions, and had consensual sex, and then ran away right before giving birth. It just makes no sense at all. If you care about this girl, why would you do that? It seems like it's self-preservation. It appears to be selfish, and I completely disagree with it, and hence the reason I don't really like them. But that's not where it ended, because they were in full damage control. CJ pushed back on the criticism of the church, saying it was possible that Selena had met someone outside the congregation. He said, quote, "We're not the closed group that we've been portrayed as. We have liberty just like anyone else." He went on to claim that Selena had gone to outings at both the skating rink and the bowling alley like that was some big deal. Most kids do that on a weekly or monthly basis, and yet this is your feather in your cap that, oh, she might have gone to a skating rink or a bowling alley one or two times? Give me a break. You can tell what their concern is here. It's not Selena, it's the church. In May, Selena was supposed to celebrate her 13th birthday. Around that time, police gave another update to the Courier-Post. They reiterated that they believed Selena was still alive, but said they did not think her mother's family had anything to do with her disappearance. Instead, they said their focus remained on the house where Selena lived and the people connected to the church. One theory they were actively exploring was that someone in the family or congregation had taken her away to protect the identity of the baby's father. In December of 1997, 1 year had passed since Selena went missing. Detectives said they were still just as baffled by the case as they had been on day one, but they hadn't given up. They continued working leads and hoping for a break. CJ spoke to the Burlington County Times and said he believed Selena was still alive. He told the paper, quote, "Selena had planned this. She had a desire to leave." He also denied that the church had anything to do with her disappearance. He said, quote, "She's a strong-willed girl. She just decided to leave. The church didn't have anything to do with this." CJ added, quote, "I want my daughter to be happy. I would love for her to want to come back and be a family, but if Selena is big and grown, I'm behind her in whatever decision she makes." The following month, Sean Smith was arrested for, quote, "having sexual intercourse on numerous occasions with two underage girls, ages 13 and 14, who were both members of the church." We're going to talk about the details of those incidents right after this break. If you're a fan of true crime that's both compelling and respectfully told, you need to check out Crime Salad. Each week, husband and wife duo Ashley and Ricky dive into both well-known and lesser-covered cases, bringing you well-researched, thoughtfully narrated stories driven by a mission to uncover the truth, amplify victims' voices, and advocate for justice. One of the recent cases they covered was a desperate 32-year-old man who risked everything to escape the nightmare he had been trapped in for years. His prison was a locked room inside a quiet house in Waterbury, Connecticut. Starved, abused, and neglected, he weighed just 68 pounds, less than the average 10-year-old. With no way out and no hope left, he made a final, desperate choice. He set his room on fire. Using only a lighter, hand sanitizer, and paper, he sparked the blaze that could either end his life or save it. It triggered a race against time as firefighters rushed to a home that no one suspected was also hiding a horrific story inside. Kimberly Sullivan, his stepmother, is now charged with imprisoning him for over two decades. But she denies everything. Her attorneys claim there's no real evidence tying her to the abuse. This man lost decades of his life, hidden from the world, voiceless. But now, his story is being told. Listen to the full episode, "The Fire That Freed Him, Kimberly Sullivan's House of Horror," and explore more powerful cases like this one by searching Crime Salad wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're back, so let's talk more about Sean Smith. According to the criminal complaint, Sean assaulted the first girl between 1992 and 1994, and the second between 1993 and 1995. Despite the timing and context, police would not comment on whether his arrest had any connection to Selena's case. He was released shortly afterward on $50,000 bond, and unfortunately, no additional details were made public and no charges related to Selena were ever filed. In May of 1998, detectives spoke to the media about their theories. Some said they believed that Selena may have died, but the lead detective said he still held out hope. He thought she might be alive and being hidden by family members trying to protect the identity of the baby's father. The search continued with no major updates. May 2002 brought Selena's 18th birthday. At that point, she became eligible to collect a substantial life insurance policy left behind by her mother, but she never came forward to claim it, something detectives saw as yet another red flag that Selena may not have left willingly or at all. Later that year in December, Sarita spoke to the Courier-Post for the first time in years. This time, she shared a new theory. She believed former church members had arranged for Selena's departure. She also claimed that she knew Selena and the baby were still alive. Sarita further accused the police of failing to act quickly when Selena disappeared. She said, quote, "It could have been resolved immediately. The whole state should have been shut down. News reporters, the police, the hospitals." According to Sarita, police initially told the family, quote, "Just wait, she'll be home tomorrow. You'll look up and she'll be back." She said that when the police realized that they had mishandled the case, they, quote, "deliberately tied in the church and got the media circus going. This got the limelight off the police." Now, I want to hear your thoughts on that. I'm obviously biased because I'm law enforcement, but I do try to be objective about this. And I think it's important to note before you weigh in down in the comments, I just want to reiterate the fact that if you remember, CJ didn't report Selena missing for the first 24 hours, and then he waited another 3 days to let everyone know that Selena was pregnant. I think we can all agree that that information should have been disclosed immediately. And if that's not enough, let's not forget that when detectives went to the house and tried to do their job, CJ and Sarita would not allow them inside. So if you really wanted to do what was right, and this is all on law enforcement, why did you impede their investigation? That's my question. But I don't want to sway you too much. Let me know what you guys think. Do you think that this was just a diversion from law enforcement because they knew they effed up the case initially? Or is Sarita just trying to rewrite history? Detectives also spoke to the Courier-Post and they had a few things to say. They described Sarita and the rest of Selena's paternal family as, quote, uncooperative. One detective said, quote, "We haven't heard from Selena's father in 4 years. They added that they continued receiving tips from across the country, but none of them had led anywhere. That Courier-Post article was the last time Sarita spoke to the media, and years passed with no major updates. In 2021, it had been 25 years since Selena disappeared. By that time, the church was no longer active, and CJ, Sarita, and Sean had all passed away, and a new detective had been assigned to the case. She told the Cherry Hill Courier that they had followed hundreds of leads, but none had panned out. Now, they were shifting their focus, re-interviewing former church members, and trying to get people talking about Selena again. The new detective also spoke to CBS and said Selena's disappearance didn't make much sense. She said, quote, "As far as we know, Selena was accepting of the pregnancy and ready to move forward. So for her to just go missing after carrying a baby for 9 months, it's very strange." She acknowledged that there may be a connection between the church and Selena's disappearance, though investigators continued to explore multiple theories. She said it's still possible Selena could be alive, possibly living under a different name, unaware that anyone is even looking for her. But I disagree with that last point because if Selena is still out there, then she knows very well that people are looking for her. And I'm not just talking about family members. I'm talking about the community. I'm talking about us. Unless she's living under a rock, unless she really just completely dropped off the map and wanted no contact with the outside world, there's no way after all these years, she's unaware that people are actively looking to find her, even just to confirm that she and the baby are okay. So I agree with almost everything detectives are saying on this case, as far as where it's going and what they're exploring. But I don't see a world where Selena's out there somewhere at 40 years old and has no clue that people are concerned for her safety. The following year, that same detective reiterated that there are still a lot of possibilities in play, but unfortunately, many of the people they would like to question again, Sarita, CJ, Sean, they're all dead. However, there is a silver lining with that because she said she believes someone out there knows something. And now that Sarita is gone, she's hopeful that people may feel safe enough to finally come forward. In May of 2024, Selena would have turned 40. To mark the occasion, her younger half-sister Nori, who was just 4 years old when Selena vanished, spoke with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. She shared that her aunt Sarita ran the church much like a cult and that her entire family was trapped in it. She said, quote, "My aunt dictated my parents' marriage and everyone else's and their kids. I do not judge my dad or my mom for their inability to act out against the church. They were afraid, but they did everything they could to help Selena." Nori also said that she believed her father CJ was treated unfairly at the time. She added that there were things people don't know, things that made it even harder for him to speak out. "I respect Nori. I appreciate her coming forward. I would only say at this point that if there are things that we don't know about and CJ's no longer here to tell those stories, maybe now would be the opportunity to do so, because with all due respect, from where I'm sitting right now, CJ could have done more and he didn't. And as a father myself, I can't respect that. So I would love to know more because maybe I would change my mind." The lead detective also spoke to NCMEC and she shared that the police were never able to conclusively identify the father of Selena's baby. In fact, they aren't even certain that she gave birth. Still, the detective said, quote, "We remain hopeful that Selena and her child may be alive. After 27 years, the case is still an open investigation. We will not give up in our search and we hope to one day give Selena's family the answers they deserve." Unfortunately, that is the most recent update we have in this case. Selena and her child are still missing, and both law enforcement and her family are still searching for them.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's dive into this perspective, and I apologize for the YouTube viewers. I'm going to be looking down at my notes because I want to make sure I hit all the points and I have a structure that I'm trying to follow. So at the top of it, what possible scenarios are we looking at? There's a ton, but I'm going to name the three that stand out to me. She was possibly moved to another church or organization or a congregation because the heat was picking up at this church and they decided, hey, we're going to move her somewhere else. We want to get her out of here. And we're going to talk more about these three scenarios. I'm just bullet pointing them right now. The second one is that she ran away. She ran away and didn't want to be part of what was still going on there. Again, we'll elaborate on that. And the final one is a homicide or complications with the pregnancy. And we're going to talk about that as well. So a couple red flags that we have, and I mentioned them in the episode. The fact that she didn't pick up the life insurance policy, that is a problem. I can't imagine that she's living out there with a ton of money, but maybe she is. Or maybe money just doesn't matter to her. Maybe she's grown up in a world where she likes just the modest living and has what she needs and doesn't need more, and realizes that if she comes forward to collect that insurance policy, all this privacy, all this freedom that she's had over these years will be gone. So you can understand where she may be evaluating it, knowing she could come forward and collect this money and saying, nope, I don't want any part of it. So let's dive into these theories a little bit more. Her being moved to another congregation or being moved out of state to a family or whatever the case might be, there's a lot of reasons that the church would facilitate this. Sarita, CJ, Sean, whoever. It's an embarrassment to the church. They don't want the legal ramifications of it. A 22-year-old molesting a 12-year-old, now pregnant, that could obviously be a problem. He would go to prison. So they would understand that if this got out, it would bring a lot of drama, a lot of heat to what they're trying to do. And as I've said in the episode, they were about being reclusive. They were about being secluded. They didn't want anybody looking into what they were doing. They wanted to be left alone. They were in this house or they were in the rectory. They wanted to live their lives the way they wanted to live them. And if somehow, some way it got out that not only was a 12-year-old girl pregnant who was living under their roof, but a male individual had molested her, and that's how she became pregnant, well, that would be the end of them. And I think Sarita knew that. And so she saw, potentially, Selena as a liability. Now, maybe it didn't rise to the level of Sarita saying, I have to take her out, I have to kill her, she's too much of a liability. Maybe it just came to a point where Sarita said she needs to disappear. I want her and the baby to be okay, but they need to be somewhere else, far away from this church. That is a very possible scenario, to me, at least. The second scenario would be that she ran away. We talked about the conditions of the church. Selena was molested by Sean, allegedly. Probably wasn't a one-time occurrence. Who else knows what was happening within those walls? And obviously, she wasn't allowed to be a child. She wasn't allowed to live her life. So maybe she just wanted to get out of there, not only for herself, but for her unborn baby. So she made a decision that when the time was right and everybody was sleeping, she was going to get out of there as fast as possible and never look back. She could have done it on her own, or she could have done it with some assistance, maybe from other church members, or maybe from outside parties like her family. We may never know. If that's what happened, we most likely will never know, because these people were able to get away with it. Selena escaped. She's raising her child somewhere, and they have no intentions on coming forward. Now, down the road, when Selena's child is older, maybe she will come out if her child's okay with it. Maybe she'll come forward and tell her story. We would love for her to come forward, if for no other reason than to let us know that she's okay. Because based on the third theory we're going to talk about right now, there's also a possibility that she's no longer with us. Maybe to Sarita and other members of the group, Selena was too much of a liability to let her leave and go somewhere else, because that was a loose end that was not tied up and could potentially lead back to the church and ruin everything they were trying to build. If they felt like the church was more important than any human life, they may have came to the conclusion that not only could Selena no longer live at the church, but she also couldn't live anywhere else. And that doesn't leave a lot of positive options. I really hope that's not the case. There's also another scenario where she's no longer with us, but it wasn't intentional. As I mentioned in the episode, she was due at the end of December, and she went missing on December 15th. Could something have happened inside those buildings where she went into labor early and people tried to help her? They tried to facilitate the labor, but unfortunately, during giving birth, there were some complications, and these people were not experienced or equipped to handle them, and something bad happened. And maybe they all said to themselves, this can't get out. If this gets out, this is the end of us. She's no longer with us. The baby's no longer here. There's no reason to come forward with this information. We have to make her disappear. And maybe this story is what came out of all of that. I'm obviously hoping for one of the first two scenarios to be what happened here, because I would like to leave this episode believing that Selena is out there somewhere right now, living her life, enjoying what she has, and not regretting for a second leaving the situation. So where do we go from here? Let's start by being completely honest with each other. If Selena has gone this far without being found because she doesn't want to be found, we're not going to find her, and that's okay. Obviously, we would like answers, but what Selena wants is more important, not only for her, but for her child. So if she's doing this deliberately, we're probably not going to find her. We're just going to have to live with that. But there is a possibility that she is out there somewhere being held against her will, and she is trying to escape whatever situation she's in. And in order to find those answers, we have to keep searching. We have to keep investigating. So what would I recommend that we do? Some of it is already being done. We have to keep updating the age progress photos. That's critical, because someone out there could see this photo and then see her walking through a cafe or a restaurant or a group event where multiple people are there attending a particular seminar or whatever, and they may say, hey, she looks familiar. That could be the tip we need. The next thing we have to do is re-interview family and friends. I'm not just talking about the people close to her, but anybody she could have connected with on the outside. Maybe re-interviewing them, it will lead us to what actually happened, especially if one of them are involved with facilitating her getting away, her getting out of that situation. We also have to re-interview church members. And I know Sarita's dead, but like law enforcement said, that could be a good thing. You go to them now. Maybe they were close-knit at the time, but with so many years passing and Sarita no longer being around, Maybe to clear their conscience, they'll finally come forward and not only share what happened to Selena, but share all the details of what happened inside that church. We also have to go back over all the reports, regardless of how redundant that may seem. I say it all the time. We need a fresh perspective, a new set of eyes, someone to go through everything that was typed up, all the evidence to see if they spot something that was originally missed. It's not likely, but it wouldn't be the first time it's happened. We've had major cases solved just by a new detective reading an old report. So that has to be done if it hasn't been done already. And you never know. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain on that. The final thing that I want to bring up is a little unorthodox and not normally used in this way, but it's genealogy. We usually take genealogy and use it to locate suspects. We'll have unidentified DNA. We put it into these systems. We try to find a familial match, and it potentially leads back to the suspect. Well, I would also say, although the group of people that Selena would be related to probably wouldn't do this, but you'll never know unless you try, would be to go through these familial systems, have someone who's related to Selena biologically upload their DNA and see if you get any hits. Now, most of those hits, genealogists will be able to make a connection and say that's Aunt Susie, that's Uncle John, that's Cousin Jen. But if there's someone who comes back with a familial match that has just a completely random name, maybe we want to go interview that person. Could that be Selena hiding under an alias? Probably not. Again, I know you guys are saying, Derek, you're crazy. But again, if it works out this way and detectives end up solving the case, and this is the way they do it, I'll be right here telling you about how brilliant these investigators are. We saw it in the Golden State Killer case where investigators use ancestral databases to find a serial killer that had been on the loose for years. So it's only stupid until you try it and it's successful. And I would say if they have family members who are willing to submit their DNA, throw it in there, see what you find. There are a lot of IgG specialists who would be more than willing for free to take on this task and see if they can identify anyone who doesn't match everyone else. Now, do I think Selena's out there putting her information online or in the public eye? Not if she's trying to remain hidden, but maybe she made a mistake or maybe she's just hiding in plain sight. Again, I would love to see this explored. It would be an unorthodox way of using genetic genealogy, but it could be a tool that we use in the future. So as we wrap this one up and I give my final thoughts on this case, based on what we have, I do think there's a high probability that Selena is still alive. When we look at Sean specifically, and we look at how he's molested other girls and gotten other women pregnant, they're all still alive. So what I would want to do, if possible, is go back to those victims and ask them, what was their behavior at the time when they were pregnant? What was the behavior of Sean? What was the behavior of Sarita? What was the behavior of the other church members? Did they ever suggest moving to a different congregation or to a different part of the country to make it, quote unquote, better for them? If any of them shed insight on that, and that is the case, it's possible that Sarita, Sean, and whoever else facilitated a transaction where Selena was moved to an undisclosed location to live out the rest of her life. That's one scenario. Another scenario is that someone with inside the church or a family member helped her escape. And maybe Sarita and Sean figured it out, but they can't tell that to the public. So they had to hide behind this whole disguise that they were concerned and hoping that she would eventually come home and blaming law enforcement for her not being found. But that's where I stand on it. I think we're looking at a scenario where if Selena came out tomorrow and said, hey, here I am, I would not be shocked at all. And it's totally up to her at this point what she does. Clearly, we all want to know what happened. We want to know what roles Sarita and Sean had in this case. We also want to know if CJ was involved as well. We also want to know if there are any other victims out there, anybody else who was a victim of Sean who was sent away, and we just haven't identified them yet because no one reported them missing. These are all questions that we need to have answered for a multitude of reasons. And as detectives said, someone out there does know something. I know it's a cliche thing to say, we say it all the time, but think about it. In this case specifically, there were a ton of people in the house that night. Unless Selena did this on her own, someone knows exactly what happened on the night that Selena disappeared. Now, why they haven't come forward yet, maybe it's to protect her, Maybe it was to protect themselves. Maybe it was to protect the church. But the church is no longer in existence. Enough time has passed. And so maybe someone right now is listening or watching, and they have information to share that would fill in all the missing pieces. So just to recap, Selena Mays was last seen sometime overnight between December 15th and 16th, 1996, at her home on Crestview Drive in Willingboro, New Jersey. She was 12 years old and 9 months pregnant at the time when she went missing, and she was around 5 feet tall, weighing 120 pounds, with brown eyes and black hair. Anyone with information is asked to call the Willingboro Police Department at 609-877-3001 or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-843-5678. My final words, as always, go out to the friends and family of Selena, but my sign-off tonight is going to be a little different, because there's a real chance that Selena's out there somewhere right now, and maybe she's watching this, and she doesn't want to be found. And although I'll never get the opportunity to share that information with you guys, her well-being is most important. So if by chance she is listening or watching, or someone who knows her is listening and watching, I just want you to know that we're happy you got out, and we're happy you're okay. And even if we don't get the closure that we're looking for, we are all glad. I think I can speak for everyone when we say, if you're happy, that's all that matters. Until next time, everyone stay safe out there, and we'll see you soon.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.